The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome. Well, we always struck, you can kind of say welcome before sitting, but then the welcome after sitting feels like sort of true welcome, yeah? So I'm happy to be with you and be continuing this exploration around equanimity. So it's said that all of biology is evolutionary biology. We humans, we don't just come from animals. Sometimes we say that we come from animals. Let you in on a little secret. We are animals. And sometimes I think that you know, the word human, the name human, maybe that's just like another vanity of our species. And I say this because if we forget that we're animals, we start to maybe hate parts of ourselves. And when we hate parts of ourselves, we can't really train ourselves. We can't really learn. It's harder to train ourselves when we have this kind of moralistic idea of what it is to be human. And one element of equanimity is becoming non-moralistic about experience. And I've always remembered that teacher sharing that one of the kind of honorific names for the Buddha was the unexcelled trainer of the animal within the human. This path of practice is very much about our status as animals, embodied, and the kind of vulnerability of that. So in neuroscience, there's a model of the brain as basically a hypothesis testing organ. Yeah, you make a hypothesis, you do the experiment, you get the data, you revise the view. And this is very different, this idea of the brain as a prediction machine, as a hypothesis testing organ. This is different from the normal stimulus response. There's a sound, I have a response. In this way of thinking, this approach, we're not really reflecting the world as it is. It's more like we're testing hypotheses about now based on what happens next. Yeah. Like we're constantly generating and testing predictions and then adjusting based on the feedback. And so in a way, our very sense of now, of what's happening now, depends on what happens next. So to make it concrete, like, is this sensation in my knee, is this just a harmless ache or a sign of tissue damage, of injury? Well, have to see what's next. Make a hypothesis, see what's next. And from this perspective, perception is a process of optimizing beliefs about the causes of my knee sensations. Yeah. And the driving concern in all of this, the knee sensation or the sound, the driving concern in all of this as animals is safety, protection, very innocent longing. And scientist Kay Tai, she says, just made this kind of offhand comment. She said, like, fear has an authoritarian command over the rest of the brain. Fear has an authoritarian command over the rest of the brain. This longing to be protected, to be safe, yeah. And this way in which we're figuring out the present based on what happens next, making predictions, testing them, gathering the data, revising, minimizing our errors. And so maybe you have a question like, why am I talking about this? Well, I'm talking about it because it gives us an actual sense of the power and the gravitational pull of the future. And so we say, you know, just relax into the present, or the shirt that says be present. Yeah. And it sounds simple. But it's actually very, quite radical. Yeah. To be present. It's an act of letting go, to really be present. Because in some sense to be present is to be open to that vulnerability, to our mortality, to be undefended against the future, to begin to put down some of this habit of generating hypotheses about the next moment, the next moment. We don't always recognize, yeah, to be open to the present moment. This is like a profoundly unguarded state. There's a dignity in it and a power, and as we'll see, a safety in it, but it is a profoundly unguarded state. And in this mix, as we're trying to ensure our safety, in this mix, as we're modeling our inner world, trying to understand what does this mean inside me? What does this sensation mean? What does that mean? In all of this, maybe the most important signal, the most important that has the most salience is something like pain, something unexpected, something unpleasant. And so we get very preoccupied with pain. And because it seems to mean a lot. And it gets us moving into this mode of what is this, hypothesizing, checking this moment against the next moment. And so all of this is to say is that equanimity is vital if we're to step out of this loop of preoccupation with the next moment. Yeah. To actually, for the heart not to be spun by pain. For us not to overinterpret pain, you know, like often it just, pain means too much to us. We overinterpret it, yeah? Because we're animals, because we're patrolling our borders, because we are surveilling, yeah? To see, is everything okay? And so even little pains, you know, little bits of dukkha feel, as I was saying yesterday, they feel like these freak accidents rather than just woven into the fabric of our universe, the fabric of our biology. And so we become so vigilant. And equanimity with pain creates a deeper sense of safety. We're not tracking threats in the same way. Our vigilance starts to let down, the belly gets soft. Experience feels less dense. And we settle into the moment in a more profound way, a way that feels nourishing. And the waves of pain or discomfort, the signals of threat arise up, the contraction or the pressures, the tingling, the sharpness, the dullness, all of this rises up. And then that itself brings on a kind of cascade of emotion. And then the mind goes scrambling. What is this? What do I do? What can I do? What does this mean about now? What does this mean about me? What does this mean about the trajectory of my life? And we just bring it all down into the present moment with this equanimous heart. Even small pains can create a sense of desperation when we really look. Yeah. Just this itch on my face. I can sense the builds into a certain kind of desperation. And so we stay, we feel our way through it. We keep our chest open. We breathe into it. Yeah. We rest in the triple gem. We have confidence in this Buddhist path. And we open to the whole body. Yeah. And as this kind of the momentum of equanimity builds, this makes us less afraid, less preoccupied with the future. And we start to settle into the present moment, a moment that that doesn't feel sandwiched between past and future. Some kinds of present feel like sandwiched. Yeah. I was that. Here's where we are. And this is coming next. As we develop equanimity, we don't feel sandwiched in that way. Yeah. We drop into a deeper kind of presence. And, totally exposed, but the equanimity creating a sense of refuge. So I offer this for your consideration. And that's good to think of you out there, all the places, and look forward to being together tomorrow, continuing the theme. So, yeah, thank you all.